In our previous studies, we began to examine closely the church that Jesus built on Pentecost. Let me get, there it is. The church that Jesus built, which he said he would build in Matthew 16 and verse 18. On this rock, I will build my church, Jesus being the speaker. In doing this last week, we made the following observations about the church universal. We noticed it was composed of all Christians. It consists of all the saved. There's just one. Jesus said, I'll build my church, just one. We must be in this church in order to be saved. And of course, I said a few moments ago, it began on the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It has no earthly organization. It can be entered only by being added by the Lord. It cannot be divided. And the Lord keeps the books of membership in the one church, the universal church, and death does not affect the membership. We would now like to compare these things with what is revealed about the church in the local sense. The church is referred to in the local sense, and in that sense, it is composed of Christians in one location. A local church is made up of Christians in a local area who have banded themselves together with the idea of fulfilling the responsibilities unto God as a local congregation or a local work. We see examples of this in the New Testament, the church at Corinth and the church of the Thessalonians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, to God, the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And then to the church at Thessalonica. Notice that Paul wrote, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in contrast, the church universal is made up of Christians everywhere. The church local is made up of Christians in a local area. And that is the difference between the two. But notice that when it comes to the local church, that there are, in fact, many churches. Paul had reference to local churches in Romans 16, verse 16, when he said, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. He is referring to multiple congregations. Churches of Christ, not to the church universal as multiple, but to local congregations. Again, when he wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 1 and verse 2, he said, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. There were many separate congregations in the region of Galatia. So when it comes to the church universal, we know there is just one. But the church local can manifest itself in a number of local congregations. Now, the church local begins whenever people join themselves together. As the gospel spreads and people respond to it, those in a particular area start a local congregation, and they agree to work together as one. Just as the church in Antioch, in fact, began later than the church in Jerusalem. Notice Acts 11, beginning with verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number of believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue in the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was for a whole year, now notice, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. First, we just have a number of people banding together, and now we have it referred to as the church in Antioch. The church universal, however, began in Jerusalem on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But local churches have begun in different places and in different times. Some recent, some quite old, but they have been in different times. Now, another contrast, and I said it was going to be contrasting here, is that with the local church, we join the local church. When one wants to become a member of a local congregation, they must join themselves to that congregation or that church. Now, we see an example of this, and that example is Paul, when he sought to become a member of the church in Jerusalem. Notice now in Acts chapter 9, had an airplane flying over. In Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 26, when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. Notice that was his intention. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Paul sought to join the brethren over there, but they made the decision whether to accept him or not. Notice that. Now, on the contrary, one is added by the Lord himself to the universal church. We, in turn, can seek to join a local congregation, that is, if its members are willing to accept us. And if you've got a reputation like Saul of Tarsus, you might have some trouble. So, but that, of course, is the local congregation's prerogative. Now, let's go again. The church local, you are enrolled in a local congregation through human judgment. Whether we are accepted into a local congregation is a decision made by the leaders or members of that church. Now, sometimes people have rejected people they should have received. We see an example of this over in 3 John. 3 John, beginning with verse 5. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We, therefore, ought to receive such that they may become fellow workers for the truth. Now listen to what he's building up to. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. We find people like Diotrephes in local congregations who are evil men, and they may succeed in kicking one out of a local congregation. But listen, only the Lord determines who stays in the universal church. If you're rejected by a local congregation, that may be the best thing that could happen to you, if you're standing for the truth. But that is the difference between the local congregation and the church universal. Now, this next statement I'm going to make, you're going to sit there and go, huh? I'm going to explain it to you. The local congregations consist of the saved and the lost. Notice, enrollment occurs through human judgment. And they, because we're human, may make fallible decisions. And we may accept one into our number who turns out to be, well, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Don't know how to put it. It can sure happen. Local churches may then have some nominal Christians, some who are not walking circumspectly. Now, we may be able to spot some of these and build them up or encourage them, turn them around, make them faithful, or we may have to withdraw from some of them. But at any given time, there's always the possibility of having one or more that are lost. And we don't know it. Generally, we don't know anything about it. Now, how do I know this is the case? Well, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 3. The book of Revelation chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Sardis, beginning with the first verse, write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come to you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have, now listen, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now here, you've got a congregation. We don't know how large it was. But he's telling, most of you are lost, L-O-S-T. And there's a few among you that are still toeing the line, and they're going to walk with me in white because they're worthy. But the rest of you are lost. Now, we realize that very often churches get a number of hypocrites. In fact, hypocrites very often merge into a local congregation unnoticed. But hypocrites don't sneak in to the church universal. They may have their name in local congregations roll book or in their directory, if you will. But that doesn't mean that they're enrolled in heaven. That doesn't mean they're enrolled in heaven. Now, I want you to hold on to your seats. I'm going to say it. the church local is not something you have to be in this church to be saved.
That's right.
One can be saved and not belong to this church. In fact, they may not at the time even belong to any church. Now, how do we know of that? Well, there was a fellow that was walking out along the road, and he saw a eunuch who was riding along in a chariot. And in just a short period of time, he preached Jesus to him, and he went down into the water and baptized him. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And which church did he belong to? Well, the fact is, he didn't belong to any local congregation. He did not belong to any local congregation. And another case in point, Paul was when in transit between Antioch and Jerusalem. Notice he came and he tried to join himself to the disciples. Well, why was he trying? Wasn't he a member of the church? Yeah, he was. He was a member of the church universal. But he was trying to be part of a local congregation. Now, this condition should only be temporary. It should only be temporary. In the universal church, this is impossible. You cannot be a non-member of the church universal and still enjoy the salvation that's contained therein. But you can be between congregations. Now, I know most people, whenever they make plans to move, the first thing they think about is, where am I going to worship? And they scout out the congregations and check their history and so forth to find out which congregation they believe they can worship with. But you can be on the road between here and there and not be a member of any congregation, and you're still acceptable. Because why? You're a member of the Church Universal. Now, I want to say that because people have misunderstood this, and they have fostered the idea of being a member at large. First time I ever heard that, I was just a boy child. And I heard my dad say that. And I thought, what is he talking about? But then I began to notice what he was talking about. And there were members in our congregation that were not on the books. Just they were there for one or two Sundays, and then they'd be gone, and then they'd be back, and then they'd be gone. They were members at large. Why? Why were they members at large? Because they did not want to take any responsibility. When you put your name on the book, they're going to ask you to do things. And I don't want any of that. I'll visit over here, and then I'll visit over there, and I'll go over here, travel to here, travel there. But I'm not going to be a member of any local congregation. Well, that's just as foreign to the New Testament as it can possibly be. Members of the Church Universal sought out local church membership and were an active part of local congregations. Now, unlike the Church Universal, the Church Local has earthly organization. A local church, when scripturally organized, that is organized according to what the New Testament says, will have bishops and deacons. We see in Philippians 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timothy addressing the saints over in Philippi. And notice, with the bishops and deacons. Now, bishops are also called elders or pastors, and their role was to oversee and feed the local congregation. In Acts 14 and verse 23, Paul, it says, whenever they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now in Acts 20 and verse 17, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Notice, Acts 20:17, he called for the elders. Now in Acts 20:28, therefore take heed to yourselves and all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, the word overseers is from episcopos or bishop. That's where we get the word bishop. And shepherd here is from the Greek word, I'm going to try this, poimaino, I think it is. It's pretty close. But anyway, and it's the idea of pastoring, that is like a pasture, pastoring a flock so that they are properly fed. So, we're talking here about the same group of men, and their job is to shepherd the church of God, to oversee the church of God, and they are elders. Now, I want you to notice here, they appointed elders. That does away with the idea of elders just being older men, because you don't get appointed to be an older man. You either are or you aren't. But this indicates an office. An office. They were appointed elders. Now, this is the only role or position ever given men over the universal church was the apostles. That's what Christ set in order. The apostles were over the church in a universal sense. And their job was pretty big. But they were not replaced when they died. James in Acts chapter 12 and verse 2 was killed by Herod with the sword. And there's no indication whatsoever that he was replaced. Now, the local congregation can be divided. You remember last week we talked about the church universal? It cannot be divided. Well, the local congregation can be. Local churches are divided over doctrines and personalities, colors of paint, you name it, you know, ridiculous things. This, of course, was a case in point with the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, Paul says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now, I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul really spells out the problem here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. He says, you are still carnal, for where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? That was their problem. That was their problem. Now, while we cannot divide the church universal, we can be responsible for dividing local congregations. And where local congregations divide over other than doctrinal matters, there's much to be answered for. Much to be answered for. Now, let's see here. We're down to, oh yeah, death. Death affects membership. When we die, our membership in a local congregation ends. Just as when Stephen died, he was no longer a member of the church at Jerusalem. Notice Acts 8 says, Saul was consenting to his death, and at the time great persecution arose against the church at Jerusalem. They're all scattered throughout the regions of Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Remember what we said last week about Church Universal? Our membership in the Church Universal continues after death. We remain in that same relationship. Now, to illustrate the differences between the Church Universal and the Church Local, notice we have, it's composed of all Christians, Church Universal, composed of Christians in one location, local. There's just one Church Universal, and there are many Church Locals. It began on the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus. It begins when people join themselves together. The Church Universal is entered only by being added by the Lord, whereas the local congregation is done by in joining of ourselves to the congregation. The Lord keeps the membership rolls. The membership of the local congregation is on the basis of human judgment. It consists of all the saved Church Universal. And remember what we noticed here, it consists both of saved and lost in the local sense. We must be in this church to be saved, the Church Universal. But we do not have to be in this congregation in order to be saved. We might be another congregation or any of a number of congregations. It has no earthly organization, the Universal Church, but the Church Local has earthly organization. It can't be divided, the Church Universal, but the Church Local, of course, can. It doesn't, death doesn't affect the membership in the Church Local, or Church Universal, but does affect our membership in the Church Local. Now, noticeably absent in the scriptures is any denominational concept of the church. Notice we haven't read anything about denominations. Now, in the American Heritage Dictionary, we see the definition of a denomination as a large group of religious congregations united under common faith and name and organized under a single administrative and legal hierarchy. We don't read about that in the New Testament at all. Also in Webster's Dictionary, we read a religious organization uniting in a single legal and administrative body a number of local congregations. We don't read about that in the New Testament at all. Any group of congregations then that are joined together by some governing body can be, the number of congregations can be as few as two and as many as who knows. But by their tie to a governing body above the local congregational level, they are denominated from all congregations that do not submit to the same authority. Thus, they are a denomination. This is the type of organizations we find in the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant churches of society today. Now, why should we take the time to note the differences between the church local and the church universal? Well, I think it helps us to better understand the word church as used in the New Testament. I believe that it helps us to avoid confusion in our thinking when we use the word church. When we're aware of the differences, we're able to identify the New Testament church today. Now, one could say that a key difference between the two of these is universal concerns the relationship between us and Christ. In the church universal, it concerns our relationship between us and Jesus Christ. In the church local, we are concerned with our relationship with one another. We're all related to Christ, but we're working together. And that thus we have that relationship with one another. Our service in the local church can certainly affect our standing in the church universal. Think about that. What we do and don't do in the local church can affect our standing in the church universal. And that makes us think, is our relationship with Christ and with each other what it should be? That's a serious question. We need to think about being added by the Lord to His church in the universal sense. As we read from Acts 2 and verse 36 on down through 41, the people on Pentecost were told, "You have crucified the Son of God. You have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain the Son of God." And they said, "What shall we do?" Well, what did Peter tell them? He said, "Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And you know what? Those that gladly received the word that day were baptized. Notice. And about 3,000 souls were added to them. In verse 47, they were praising God, having favor with the people, and the Lord, who? The Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. What church did he add them to? The universal church. And that's what we strive to be a part of now. Appreciate your careful attention to this lesson and to all the lessons that we've been presenting along this line. And if you have questions or anything that you'd like to discuss on this, feel free to let us know about it. We'll be glad to get in contact with you and set up a Zoom meeting or telephone and do what we can for you to understand the will of God and be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ.